Welcome to Art.BSL, Episode 4, July 30th, 2021. I'm your host, Steve Barney, the Mad Potter. In this episode, Carrie and I have a chance to talk to writer, artist, entrepreneur, and photojournalist Ellis Anderson. Then Carrie hits happy hour at Bacchus on the Beach. Then it's back to the studio to talk like a pirate with the Seahorse Crew's own Lady Claiborne, played by Noelle Allen, and Captain Longbeard, played by Albert Gurgich. Coming to you from the corner of Washington and Central in Bay St. Louis Depot District, welcome to Art.BSL, the podcast with a finger on the pulse of the buzzingest arts and culture scene on the Gulf Coast. I'm your host, Steve Barney, the Mad Potter. Join me and my illustrious team of insiders, wise guys, and know-it-alls every week as we take a deep dive journey into what's happening in Old Town, the Depot District, and all across the coast. So buckle your seatbelt, sit back, and get ready for the next episode of Art.BSL. First up, it's Ellis Anderson. She's been fascinated by the transformative power of communications for more than two decades. Experimenting with video, blogging, print, photography, and social media as a means to help build healthier communities. Since 2011, she's published The Shoe Fly Magazine, a digital weekly focusing on life in Bay St. Louis, Waveland, and the Mississippi Gulf Coast. French Quarter Journal, its sister digital publication launched in 2019, tells the inside stories of the most famous neighborhood in New Orleans. I first interviewed Ellis a few months ago as part of my Meet the Makers and Storytellers documentary film project. Here's a clip from that interview.
My name is Ellis Anderson, and I'm an artist here in Hancock County. I originally was a musician and later an art gallery owner in New Orleans in the French Quarter, and moved over full-time to Bay St. Louis in 1995, opened a second location of my French Quarter gallery, which was Quarter Moon Gallery. What struck me about Bay St. Louis and made me want to move over here, because I'm in the epicenter of the New Orleans art scene, you could tell it was just this bubbling coastal art scene with roots in New Orleans. And lighthearted, and it was also less stuffy than in New Orleans. Over here in Bay St. Louis, the art scene was much more relaxed. It felt more like a community, and it felt like all the artists were trying to lift up each other.
Carrie, when we put together the list of everyone that we want to interview, was the top of the list was Ellis Anderson. She's the OG, the original gangster of new media here in Hancock County. Welcome to the studio, Ellis.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. I'm so thrilled with what you guys are doing.
We're so happy to have you here, Ellis. You're a little bit of a personal hero of mine and really one of the main reasons I'm in Bay St. Louis right now.
Well, you both have a lot of connections between the French Quarter and Bay St. Louis. So you talk about the Fourth Ward. That was the original name for the shoe fly, the Fourth Ward Cleaver. Tell us about that.
In 2011, 10 years ago, some friends in the neighborhood and I and my husband, Larry Joubert, got together and we were going, there needs to be some kind of neighborhood news thing going on. We thought it would be really funny. Fourth Ward Cleaver, based on the Leave It to Beaver series, right?
I love it.
So the Ward Cleaver.
So really, to put it in perspective, 10 years ago, there was no Nextdoor app. There was no Facebook groups where you could say, hey, my dog's loose.
Yeah, social media was
getting together.
A different thing back then. There was a newspaper, and there still is a newspaper, the Seacoast Echo, but you're trying to do something different, really the focus on arts and culture?
Arts, culture, lifestyle pieces, mm-hmm. And also do more profiles. Within like a month, we had like 5,000 people all over the community. Yeah. So once a month, we would just have like a calendar of events and do profiles. We started the Good Neighbor series. So it was a lot of fun, but it was all done with volunteers.
You're publishing new stories every week. You got photo galleries. Tell me about what's going on now.
We made a conscious decision in 2014 to take it into a full-scale online magazine. And so to do that, we wanted to start paying people. So we needed business sponsors. So I came up with a little business model. I mean, there were some businesses in town who have sponsored the Shoe Fly. I call them legacy sponsors, but they have stuck with us. They understood the vision from the beginning and signed a board. And so we launched it.
Yeah. Well, you know, people don't realize that highly curated, high production value content is expensive.
Such as what we're creating right now.
Yes. We're starting as a volunteer effort, but the Shoofly magazine could not survive and thrive without the dozens and dozens of sponsors who've committed themselves month after month to making sure the product is out there. Yeah.
And the idea is to generate enough income so everybody gets paid, and everybody gets paid reasonably well. Now we're accepting, for the last couple of years, we accept reader donations, mm-hmm. which have become a huge part of our annual budget and allow us to pay people.
And it's really, I think, important for people that live in this community, if for nothing else, the events calendar. Like, how else are we going to know what's going on?
You don't. And it's I'm telling all you people who have events out there and live music and the bars, we have this events calendar where you go on, you can submit your own event. It is completely free for anybody.
I mean, we're going to do our best to try to get all those bar owners all across the coast to submit their entries in and really make it a central resource.
We have over 1,000 stories in our archives now.
Incredible.
Is when someone does a search on, say, a person here in the community or a business here in the community that we've mm-hmm. done a story on, or an event we've done a story on, it pops up. And every month we get more stories out there. We publish between 3 and 5 stories every week.
Incredible.
You're really creating just a historical archive of this town that's going to kind of live on forever, longer than us.
I like that idea too. I've done a lot of the photography through the years because I enjoy it so much, though I am not of your caliber.
Ellis lets me shoot for her sometimes. Oh, it's a joy.
Oh, you are amazing. I have developed a big archive of photographs, thousands of archives since Katrina. And I was just talking to the Hancock County Historical Society, and I'm going to will them all those photographs.
Wow.
I hope it's not for a long time.
Yeah.
But I want those to go into a historic resource, you know, for the town, so people 100 years from now can kind of see what our life was like then.
That's so special.
Art.bsl is presented by Lazy Magnolia Brewery. Join the Porch Pals Taproom Loyalty Program and get a custom mug made by me, the Mad Potter. The biggest party of the month happens every first Friday at the brewery. And remember to drink responsibly. Tell us a little bit about a couple years ago you launched a sister publication, French Quarter Journal.
I had the idea. I lived in the French Quarter. I moved to the French Quarter in 1978 and became a street musician. And I worked in the music and on the street and in clubs for 4 years about. So I just always loved the Quarter. Later, I had a gallery there.
What musical instruments were you playing?
Guitar and violin. And I did vocals. I had a deep knowledge of things in the French Quarter that were happening since it was my neighborhood for so many years, that those stories weren't getting told. Media had more pressure on it. Fewer of those stories were getting told through time. So I had the idea of doing something Shoofly-ish in the French Quarter, but also incorporating writings. We've got some great veteran professional writers who are writing with us, like Rita Grimsley Johnson and John Sledge, Richard Goodman. They're writing incredible pieces, and they're taking fresh looks at sometimes older topics in the French Quarter. So it's more of a literary bent. There's no community calendar because there's a lot of community calendars.
I really feel that, Ellis, because I lived in the French Quarter for 12 years, and it is a city in its own, right? Those characters, they need their stories told. NOLA.com is fantastic, but they're not going to talk about the guy that busks on Royal Street every day or whatever, you know, who I want to know about. And like we said before with Shoofly, you're creating this historical archive. You're also doing that with these French Quarter personalities too.
I hope some. There's some great stories.
Well, that's a good point too, is like the Quarter, if you thought you knew the Quarter before, if you came to New Orleans, you know, 3 years ago, it's different now. What survived, and you're there to tell those stories.
But yeah, we're trying to focus on new businesses and legacy businesses who have been there for a really long time. And there's a million different stories happening right now. We can't catch them all either, but we're trying to do our best.
So it's the same business model as Shoofly. Basically, if you're a French Quarter business, you can sponsor.
Absolutely. So, in fact, we can use some sponsors. So, right now, please. We're just getting off the ground and establishing ourselves there. The other thing that happened with French Quarter Journal that was interesting during COVID that I didn't expect was a lot of the publications about New Orleans that were just tourist-oriented shut down, or just not shut. Some shut down permanently, some just quit production. Whereas we were able to do, we did a blog called Hunkering Down, mm-hmm. and it was photos and different takes on the quarter as it was during the crisis. So we actually came up in recognition and name recognition and our social media followings. It was pretty surprising to me. That was something I didn't expect.
So it's an interesting time. So how do you have time to do all this?
I don't. it's enjoyable work. It's work I love, and it's always a lot of fun, and I get to work with great people like you and with Steve, and so that generates a lot of energy. You know, you're working with this young emerging talent too, and it's hugely exciting. It keeps your energy level up, I think.
Ellis, I feel like we could talk to you forever about Shoofly and French Quarter Journal, but we're going to have a lot of other questions for you. Will you come back and talk to us some more?
Absolutely.
Okay. As I live here longer, I'm going to need some advice from you, I'm sure.
Well, we have so many stories to tell. We thank you for coming in the studio, and we are counting on you coming back, and we are so excited to partner with the Shoofly in this new podcast adventure.
We want to support you, our whole team. I'm speaking for our whole team now. We want to support you however we can, on whatever level we can. We are so pleased with what you're doing and so excited.
Cool. And happy 10-year anniversary to the Shoofly.
Thank you.
I also want to say, if you are new to Bay St. Louis, or if you have never read Ellis's book, Under Surge, Under Siege, about her experiences during Katrina here, it feels like a must read for anyone who moves here. Please go check that out.
Well, thanks for coming into the art.bsl production studios here with Ellis Anderson. Thanks.
Oh, so pleased. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for coming.
Art.bsl comes to you from the production studios of the BSL Creative Arts Center at the corner of Washington and Central Streets in the Depot District. The Creative Arts Center, profiled in the June 2021 issue of Southern Living Magazine, features a well-equipped pottery studio, teaching classes in wheel throwing, and hen building for all ages. Build anything you can imagine in our fab shop with metal wood and fiberglass. Print your own t-shirts in the screen printing studio. Learn mosaics with the Plate Thief. 3D printing, drone photography, podcast production, and so much more at the coast's most eclectic makerspace. Learn more at bslcac.com.
This week on Gulf Coast Eats, I'm still going through my old Rolodex of favorite restaurants to share with you guys, and I need to tell you about Bacchus on the Beach in the Pass. It was the very first restaurant my family and I went to after we were fully vaccinated and had not eaten out for an entire year. So it's very dear to my heart. As the COVID numbers in Mississippi start to spike again, we will probably choose to avoid eating indoors soon. But that's one thing great about Bacchus. They have an enormous outdoor patio overlooking the water. And my pro tip is to avoid the crowds and hit up the killer deals at happy hour every day from 2 to 6. The double whammy is hitting up the daily special during happy hour. This incredibly popular daily special just went up in price a little bit from $10 to $12.50, but it's still a killer deal because the food is fantastic. And this might sound like a commercial, but I swear they aren't sponsors yet. Okay, here we go. Here's the rundown of the calendar. Monday is a 14-ounce pork chop. Tuesday, a triple double burger. Wednesday, a shrimp platter. And Thursday is my personal favorite, steak night. These are all $12.50. Now, during happy hour, domestic beer is $2. Drafts, well liquors, and house wine is $3. $4 for bloodies, martinis, and margaritas. This banging 2 to 6 happy hour actually runs all day on Tuesday. So, if you take nothing else away from this segment, remember this. Go to Bacchus on the Beach, in the Pass, on a Tuesday, and get lit and eat a burger. I think Bacchus, the king of wine, would certainly approve.
Hi, everybody. This is Bernie Cohen. I'm down here at the Wayland Ground Zero Hurricane Museum, and I invite you to come see our traveling exhibit from the Smithsonian, Crossroads in Rural America. The museum's open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and admission is free.
The Art.BSL podcast is brought to you by the generous financial support of our listeners. Click the Be a Patron button from the Podbean app to learn more about how you can support our production costs through crowdfunding. Get a cool art.bsl t-shirt and other cool swag, and thanks for your support. I'm here today in the art.bsl studios with Noelle Allen and Albert Gergich from the Mystic Crew of the Seahorse.
Hey Steve, this is Carrie. Can I just take this interview over? Because you said the magic word to me, and that is Mardi Gras.
I already know him pretty good. So, Carrie, have at it.
Albert, do you know a little something about Santa?
I know a little bit.
I like that Captain Longbeard over here does have quite the Santa beard.
Yes, Santa beard, Santa hair, Santa belly. Got it all going on.
So I just moved here from New Orleans, and I'm a Mardi Gras fanatic, and I need to know about it from some royalty in Bay St. Louis. Okay, let's start with the Mystic Crew of the Seahorse. When did that start?
Mystic Crew of the Seahorse started about 6 years ago. We focus on Lundi Gras. Everybody knows is the Monday before Mardi Gras. And so Lundi Gras here is a really big deal in the Bay.
And it's the only parade on the entire Mississippi Gulf Coast on Lundi Gras. Yep.
Wow, yep. That is important. So you get a big crowd.
It's huge. It's well attended. It's primarily a golf cart parade. You would not believe the artistic creativity of these people. They transform golf carts into ships and castles and prisons and anything you can imagine, right?
They do. It's really fun. The creativity of the entire town. Everyone here really comes out.
There was even a guy, you might know him, I think his name is Steve Barney. One year, he made a giant flamethrower that he rode in the parade.
That sounds dangerous.
It was great. Exciting and dangerous and fun and all of that, yes.
So for all of these parades, if you live in town and you have a golf cart and you just want to participate, is that a possibility? We can just decorate our golf cart and join a crew?
You don't have to join the crew to be in the parade, but you do have to register. We missed Lundi Gras this year, but next year it's going to be awesome. Our crew has a ship afloat that the Seahorse is what we call it, obviously.
Our honor guard rides on that.
Honor guard and the captain and the lady ride on the float, and it's a lot of fun. It's a really nice looking ship.
Okay, Captain Longbeard, tell me more about the Mystic Crew of the Seahorse. Where did that name come from?
Well, there actually was a ship called the Seahorse, and it was docked here in Bay St. Louis area in December of 1814. And it was in December of 1814 when they noticed the British trying to sneak by here to get to New Orleans. That's when we know about the famous Battle of New Orleans. So when the Seahorse crew saw the British in the bay right here, they got in their tiny little boat and they rushed out there to do battle against this whole flotilla of the British Navy. I mean, if you can imagine the absurdity of it, one small schooner going against these entire ships, and this small schooner, the Seahorse, only had one cannon, and yet they still went out there. And they still went out there, and they fired on the British, and they fired, and they did everything they could, which wasn't a whole lot other than to slow them down. Well, the British then obviously returned fire, sent three large boats after them. The captain of the Seahorse brought the schooner back into the bay, beached it, and was afraid that the British was going to confiscate it, so he set it on fire. He set it on fire so it would be of no value. So the Seahorse, the Mystic Crew of the Seahorse, is based on a actual real Seahorse crew that was here in Bay St. Louis and fought in the battle in 1814. So Noelle and I are the inaugural Captain Longbeard and Lady Claiborne.
We are honored to be the first and thrilled.
So I should continue to address you as Captain and Lady. Lady, okay.
Everything from the history rolled in with the mythos of pirate life. We created this brand new legend of Captain Longbeard and Lady Claiborne with costumes and everything that goes with a little bit of literary freedom thrown in there. So we like to believe in our legend that Captain Longbeard and Lady Claiborne played a significant role in that battle.
And Lady Claiborne is actually in the Hancock County Historical Society pages as a woman who is visiting the Gulf Coast. And she actually looked around at the men when they were, you know, this battle was about to happen. And she said, well, no one fire a shot in defense of our country. And there are two different ways that story goes. And one is that she plucked a cigar out of a man's mouth and lit the cannon herself.
Which is the best story.
We like that one the best. Yeah, we like that one the best. She lit the cannon. Yeah.
That's exciting.
The Art.BSL podcast is brought to you by the generous financial support of our listeners. Click the Be a Patron button from the Podbean app to learn more about how you can support our production costs through crowdfunding. Get a cool Art.BSL t-shirt and other cool swag, and thanks for your support.
All right, you two, I missed Pirate Day in the Bay this year. Can you tell me a little bit about how it went?
It was amazing. It was one of our largest attended events that we've had so far. And we've had some really big ones, but this was our biggest by far. It was so much fun. We had a short parade there as well, mm-hmm. where the pirates came in, made a loop around town with our pirate crew and our parades, and we took over the town. Mm-hmm. And we had a skit, a reenactment. We had Captain Lafitte there bringing the Declaration of Clemency from General Jackson, and we kicked off the Pirate Day in the Bay, and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Friday is really fun. They start off with a VIP party for members with hors d'oeuvres and all of that. And we have bands both nights. But Friday night is the pub crawl. Mm-hmm.
So there's a buried treasure that mm-hmm. someone on the crew hides in the city somewhere. And each pub you go to gives you a clue in order to try to find the buried treasure. So,
oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so you go to every one of the pubs, you put together the clues, and hopefully you can find the buried treasure.
If you haven't drank too much rum.
Yeah.
Well, there's that. So everything they do, they're always thinking of children too. You know, there's some ways that families can participate in our town. And then Saturday morning starts off with a free children's walking parade.
Oh, cute.
And we provide all of the beads and throw.
So I'm a big costumer. Lady, can you tell me what I need to know? Are there any rules? Where do I start? Is everything homemade?
Okay, well, first of all, Lady Claiborne's motto is there are no rules.
Great. I love that.
That's where pirates.
I describe her as dangerously flamboyant.
Ooh. Yeah.
He coined that term for me, and I'll take it.
You know, so we don't have to go with authenticity.
You know, you can, but there's also an element of fantasy, and sometimes there's sci-fi. Sometimes there's a little steampunk in there, as Steve has brought in before, and the guys. That's been really fun. Actually, you're thinking, what would a pirate wear? You know, what their clothes look like? You're thinking about their everyday lives, and they wouldn't be brand new and perfect, you know, and old
dresses. So you're adding on to costumes all the time.
And taking apart, you know, other dresses are.
Yeah, we're not reenactors.
Right.
So we're not that. So
there's
we're not
historical accuracy necessary.
No historical accuracy. We're not going for authenticity. But we are trying to grab that sense of what it means to be a pirate, to just celebrate life in the moment and just do it with zeal and gusto.
Well, we're having fun doing it.
We're having fun doing it, that's for sure.
I feel like that's a good motto for the Bay. A lot of people are just living life out here and having a good time.
We are. And that's our main mission, is just to really have a good time. Mm-hmm. Have fun, meet new people, hang out with friends.
Well, remember, it's like, you've all heard this before. Captain Jack Sparrow said, you know, always be yourself. Unless you can be a pirate, then always be a pirate.
Yeah.
Should we talk a little bit about the Mutiny in the Bay?
This year in August, because we missed it in January.
It's our lanyard party.
Lanyard party, where it's just going to be a party. There's no new crew coming in. There's no coronation of the new people. It's just another chance for Noelle and I and our honor guard and our crew to have a party.
Well, if there's anything I know about pirates, they need to party occasionally.
Oh, yeah.
Drink a little rum, let off a little steam. Yeah. Yeah, we'd love to talk
about that. Is that open for anyone, or is that just the crew?
It is. It is. You don't have to be a member to attend.
Okay, I can go then.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely. You know, all of the events that the Mystic Crew of the Seahorse puts on are all fundraisers. So this is the first year we'll have a band,
A live band.
Mm-hmm, a live band. And we have a wonderful menu planned.
Now, should people come in costume?
Yes.
Absolutely. You don't have to. I'll say that to some people who may not have a costume or not sure what to wear, you're welcome to come in whatever you would go to a party in.
Sometimes you have people in, you know, island wear or just what you would wear to dinner on the coast, which would be shorts and a comfortable shirt, you know, some flip-flops.
Some people may just show up with just a hat on and that's it. Well, hopefully they got more than just a hat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Will they be allowed in with just a hat? You never know. If it's a pirate hat. That's exciting. And okay, when and where is this party?
It's August 7th at the community center by the depot in the Depot District. And I believe it's 7 to 11 is the party. There'll be food. There'll be dancing. The tickets are $35 ahead of time at the Mystic Crew of the Seahorse website, or you can go to the Facebook page. You do have to be 21 and older.
Yes, because I've heard a rumor there will be alcohol there.
Imagine that. Pirates love it. Okay, well, I'm coming. I'm definitely going to be there.
Good.
This sounds
great. Blast. It's
a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's one of the best parties of the year.
I love it. Okay, Lady Claiborne and Captain Longbeard, thank you so much. Albert and Noel, thanks for coming in and telling us about Mardi Gras in the Bay.
And a pirate mutiny party coming up in
August.
Don't miss it. We're all going to be there.
It's going to be awesome.
It'll be a blast.
Come join Lady Claiborne and Captain Longbeard at the Mystic Crew of the Seahorse Mutiny in the Bay party. It's all happening Saturday, August 7th, 2021 from 7 to 11 p.m. at the Bay St. Louis Community Hall, 301 Blaze Avenue in the Bay. Pirate attire is encouraged but not required. There'll be an amazing buffet of food, a cash bar, and live music by the Dave Maley Band. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to mkotsh.com. Make sure to check out all the other events and happenings in town in the Shoofly Magazine's community calendar at bslshoofly.com. The Art.BSL podcast is brought to you by the generous financial support of our listeners. Click the Be a Patron button from the Podbean app to learn more about how you can support our production costs through crowdfunding. Get a cool art.bsl t-shirt and other cool swag, and thanks for your support. That's it. It's a wrap on this episode of Art.BSL, the podcast with a finger on the pulse of the buzzingest arts and culture scene on the Gulf Coast. I'm your host, Steve Barney, the Mad Potter of Bay St. Louis, inviting you to join me and my illustrious team of insiders, wise guys, and know-it-alls every week as we take a deep dive journey into what's happening in Old Town, the Depot District, and all across the coast. So thanks for listening, and see you next week for another episode of Art.BSL.